In a world where people need 80s and 90s movie reviews, two regular Geordies combine forces to bring you the Brother to Brother 80s and 90s Movie Review Podcast. Check them out on Twitter, YouTube, and all decent podcast vendors.
Thank you. Hi.
Nervous, some people, huh?
May I help you?
Yes, you have a reservation for an Axel Foley?
Well, let's see. I'm sorry, I don't see anything under that name.
Check Rolling Stone magazine's Axel Foley. That's what it is.
Okay. No Rolling Stone, no Axel Foley. I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, it's all right. You guys probably just made some kind of mistake with reservations. Why don't you just give me another room now, go up and go to sleep?
I'm sorry, sir, but there are no rooms available.
Don't you think I realize what's going on here, miss? Who do you think I am, huh? Don't you think I know that if I was some hot shot from out of town that pulled inside here and you guys made a reservation mistake, I'd be the first one to get a room and I'd be upstairs relaxing right now. But I'm not some hot shot from out of town. I'm a small reporter from Rolling Stone magazine that's in town to do an exclusive interview with Michael Jackson that's gonna be picked up by every major magazine in the country. I was gonna call the article, "Michael Jackson is sitting on top of the world," but now I think I might as well just call it, "Michael Jackson can sit on top of the world just as long as he doesn't sit in the Beverly Palm Hotel because there's no niggers allowed in there."
Excuse me, sir, it seems that we do have a last-minute cancellation. There is a room available. It's a suite, but I'll only charge you the single room rate.
Thank you. I'm sorry I got upset. It's probably from jet lag or something. I'm very tired.
I understand,
What's
sir.
The rate, anyway?
That'll be $235 a night, sir.
Hello, and welcome back to Brother, your sanctuary for your 80s and 90s movie reviews with myself, Carl, and my co-host, Nicky. Nicky, what is in the VCR today, my friend?
Today in the VCR, mate, is Beverly Hills Cop 1984. 1 hour 45 minute flick, this one.
Stars Eddie Murphy.
And this is one of those films kind of going back to our roots, if you will. And this is a film that, rather disgustingly, I haven't seen up until now. I literally had to watch it for this episode.
Yeah.
But naturally, you've seen it.
But to be fair, like, you see these films and then you do forget.
Oh yeah, of course.
A lot of the scenes. So it was a good watch for me, watching it again.
Yeah. That's obviously, like, with me not watching it, it's one of those iconic movies I've always wanted to watch, naturally.
Yeah.
And I'm just never, ever getting around to it.
So what is the synopsis?
The synopsis is, a freewheeling Detroit cop pursuing a murder investigation finds himself dealing with a very different culture of Beverly Hills. Obviously, Detroit shows you at the start of the film, very like run down, beat up place type thing.
Aye, and it shows you like a lot of like Detroit life, daily life.
Aye.
Shows you like cars on production line there.
Yeah.
People in the streets.
Isn't it the Steel City, Detroit?
Is it?
I think so. I could be wrong. Probably Americans are this thinking, no, it's not the Steel City, but I'm sure it is.
Obviously, I like RoboCop there.
Yeah. Aye. Well, that was obviously when it shows you this particular scene, and it shows you that like the down and beat town that is Detroit. Obviously, when you think Beverly Hills, you think like the extravagance, the celebrities, and the other. So when you're watching a film called Beverly Hills Cop, and all of a sudden you're looking at like
Detroit,
it's like,
this is where it starts.
Aye, yeah, like yin and yang. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So straight on the off, they play like one of the famous tunes from it, which is called "The Heat Is On."
The Heat Is On by Glenn Frey.
So it literally comes like, aye. So Beverly Hills Cop comes on the thing, aye. And then it shows you all the different scenarios, like we said.
Aye.
Yeah. There's one scenario where there's these kids, and there's a lad drinking milk.
Aye, there is.
And he's like spitting out two sides of his mouth, which is hilarious.
It's funny, like, because obviously we spoke about this before going live, if you will.
Will that pick that up?
Yeah.
You're sure?
It's right in the mic. Look at the music jumping around.
I'll remind you that one if it sounds low when it stands out. It sounds low to me. I'm not getting the full whack.
Keep the faith, mate. It's right up to the new mic.
Okay.
Because I actually noticed that kid, and that for some, when I watch old films, I think like stupid things like this, and I was just like, I wonder what he's doing now. Like, I wonder if he like kind of watches this film as an adult now, and thinks like, oh, that was me. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Because I would.
You know that could be Michael B. Jordan for you now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You just know. If anyone knows where that kid is, if you watch Beverly Hills Cop, let them know.
I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you might be listening. You never know.
Hey, there's never an idea. But
I just, as I was going to say before there, obviously Beverly Hills Cop, iconic movie.
Eddie Murphy, Axel Foley.
Aye, Eddie Murphy is Axel Foley. I've always wanted to watch it, never got around to watching it, so I was happy that this is the movie that we've picked. Again, obviously going back to the original roots of BTB, it was a case of me watching it and has it held up, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a film I would definitely watch again. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I thought it held up.
What did you think of the opening scene where he's like selling contraband? I thought it was kind of funny.
yeah, because he obviously he's like arguing with a mini.
Like haggling.
Haggling. He's like, it's $5,000. He's like, oh,
no. Cigarettes.
I'll just give you $2,000. And but that again is obviously like just showing you the character of Eddie Murphy and how he's like, he's knee deep in it. Do you know what I mean? He's not just kind of pushing pencils at a desk like Dylan. Do you know what I mean? He's like in amongst it, which I think's, it's good how they do that in films. Introduce a character by introducing the character, as if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like showing you that he's not just kind of sat at a desk. He is like getting amongst it and
undercover.
Aye.
That first scene, that like truck chase.
Aye.
It's kind of good. There was part of us thinking, Christ, just stand up. You know, he's in the back and he's like trying to find his feet in that. And then he's getting swung by chains on the, like, from the outside. And
aye.
And I was looking at them scenes as well to say, like, can you tell it's a double? Do you know what I mean?
Aye, stunt double.
Aye. But the shots that you do are from quite far away.
Aye.
So you wouldn't be able to blatantly tell. I doubt it's Eddie Murphy getting swung about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That reminds me when you talk about stunt doubles there. I was watching this clip the other day. Changing the subject ever so slightly, but it is obviously kind of 90s based. And it was a Nike advert for Michael Jordan. And he's with his mum. Have you seen it?
No.
He's playing basketball with his mum. And his mum's like got the basketball. It's like, it is actually his mum on the advert. And then she goes to dunk the basketball and it changes the camera angle. And his mum dunks it. But the stunt double's got to keep Tash in that. Like, it's just blatantly not his mum.
Michael Jordan had a Tash, didn't he?
I did, like the worst Tash ever. But this, he had like little throw in that. And it was the worst stunt double ever. You have to check it out, that advert.
From different films to films when we do our podcasts. You just mentioned Michael Jordan. I just seen a fact about Batman Returns, that Michael Keaton wore Michael Jordan's when he was actually wearing the Batman suit.
Batman Returns.
Yeah, but anyway, back to Axel Foley. So obviously starts in Detroit, he's getting chased because he's obviously been selling contraband.
Aye.
Because the police come to the truck, don't they?
Aye, the police bust them. It's funny actually, because on that scene, he's like obviously haggling with this like criminal in the cigarette thing, and you just see like a police car in the background like drive reverses past. It stops and they like reverses back just to say like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, it takes ages for them to see it, and it eventually just pulls up.
Yeah,
should have known it would be you, Axel.
Aye.
Someone like cracks like the easiest joke, but yeah, it probably gives a big laugh when they go, you got a cigarette, Axel, like back at the station. I was laughing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Aye, because they're giving him stick, aren't they?
Aye,
it was like the worst joke ever. Aye, that's the funny thing about that is that's typical like bloke crack, that is. Go cigarette, mate. Do you know what I mean?
The main guy who greets him at the station is like trying to give him a heads up, like the captain's fucking pissed off. And I should know his name because he is a well known actor. He was actually in a sitcom years ago called My Two Dads.
Aye.
How mad's that? Aye, an American sitcom.
Is that about what you think it would be about?
It's ironically. Some lass has got two dads and he's one of them. Good show, actually.
Aye?
Aye. He has been in other things, but I couldn't like name it off the top of my head.
Aye.
But aye. So Martin Brest directs this film.
Martin Brest, he's directed quite a lot, looking at his list.
True.
I mean, I wouldn't say a big hitter, but there's some canny films in there. Scent of a Woman was one of them, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Scent of a Woman, Al Pacino.
And another lad that's spent time in a Batman film. What's he called? Chris Summick.
Aye. Chris O'Donnell. No.
Chris O'Donnell played Robin.
Is it Chris O'Donnell?
I think so.
I'd be surprised if I get that first time. Oh, it is Chris O'Donnell. Oh, well,
you pull that out of that there.
I mean, the listeners are probably more shocked that I've actually seen a film that we've never discussed before, Scent of a Woman. Midnight Run. Another one that he directed.
De Niro.
De Niro, aye. Meet Joe Black, according to IMDb, was another one of...
3 hours of dross.
Oh, was it?
Well.
I'd never seen Meet Joe Black, like...
Not for me.
Obviously, Beverly Hills Cop, and he was also he actually had a part in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. He was the doctor, apparently.
Fast Times, yeah.
Dr. Miller,
Honestly, it amazes me how like some of these movies come together that we all know to be classics, like Beverly Hills Cop. Like, it went on to have like 3 movies. There's a 4th one ready to go.
In the getting brewed.
Called Axel Foley.
Is that what it's called?
It's called Axel Foley, aye.
Is Murphy in it?
I hope so.
I was going to say, no, he is.
Aye. And funny you should mention that. I was saying to you earlier, the other two cops who are in this film, you've got Detective Rosewood and Sergeant Taggart.
Yeah.
Rosewood's played by Judge Reinhold.
I absolutely love Judge Reinhold.
He was in Vice Versa, wasn't he?
Oh, I just think he's brilliant, mate.
And John Ashton played Taggart.
Aye, that's right, aye.
But what I was going to say is, because you're asking if Eddie Murphy was in the 4th one, obviously. Uh-huh. Taggart apparently wasn't in the 3rd one, which I think's right, but Rosewood was. But apparently he's back for this next one.
Aye.
Aye.
It's, I remember when I was a kid, and when I had Sky Digital back in the day, and it said Beverly Hills Cop 3, and I put it on, and Judge Reinhold and Eddie Murphy kind of running through this like mansion thing, and I was like, oh, it seems like quite close towards the end here, so I'll turn it off.
Yeah.
And I thought no more of it. It just obviously fast forward years and years and years. I always thought to myself, I've seen part of Beverly Hills Cop 3. So when Beverly Hills Cop started, and the judge, as I like to call him, was in it, I thought, oh, he must see out like the trilogy, yeah, type thing. But then at the end of the film, when they're running through a mansion, without going too much into it, I thought, this is the scene that I saw, and Sky Digital said Beverly Hills Cop 3. So for like 15, 20 years of my life, I thought I'd seen part of Beverly Hills Cop 3, and I haven't at all. It was actually Beverly Hills Cop 1.
All right.
So just all, do you know what I mean? It's like one of those stupid facts, really. Like,
Beverly Hills Cop 3 is probably the worst one, biggest flop. Eddie Murphy took it for the money. He admits that. The story was terrible.
Oh, really?
Hence, he wanted to do a 4th one to like sort of put that right.
Aye.
It'd be interesting to see who is directing the 4th one.
Let's see if I can find it for you. What's it called?
Check out the director of the second one. Did this stay with Martin Brest?
Well, it didn't. I've just went through Martin Brest's things then. It didn't
have Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Didn't see Beverly Hills Cop 2. Like,
be interesting to know who did 3. Who put out that dross? Do you know what I mean?
Dross.
Oh, nah, dross.
Beverly Hills.
I don't even use that word, so that just shows you.
Cop 2.
Victor Maitland, who was that?
That was the bad guy, mate.
Oh, he's the British actor.
Aye. Tony Scott.
He
directed the second one.
Notice how, mate, you're pulling a face. Tony Scott is Ridley Scott's brother, right?
All right.
Tony Scott.
Oh, he's dead.
Let's get to it. Let's have a respect, yeah. He did the original Top Gun.
Never?
Aye.
Unstoppable.
He committed suicide, man?
No joke.
Aye, committed suicide, jump off a bridge.
I did. Oh, I directed The Fan. Come on, so have you seen The Fan?
Aye, unreal. With De Niro and Eddie Murphy. Imagine. Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
Ironically, I'm sure De Niro and Eddie Murphy were in a flick, and that was terrible, called Showtime.
All right.
That was shit. It was terrible.
The Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. Don't
what were we talking about there?
Deja
Vu. Aye, Tony Scott.
Tony Scott, aye.
Aye, so he did the original Top Gun. He's did a... Oh, he did over him. Great flicks. If you go to Tony Scott's list.
It says North Shields, I thought.
I was local, aye.
Because I thought Ridley Scott was from South Shields.
No, North Shields.
I thought he was from Harton Lane. Anyway.
And you know Ridley Scott obviously did Gladiator.
Deja Vu, Man on Fire.
Who's this?
Tony Scott. Spy Game.
I thought he did that, so he actually got Man on Fire, so he must have.
Enemy of the State, what a film that is. He's got some Crimson Tide.
Aye.
The Last Boy Scout.
Tony Scott did Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Aye.
Who did the third one?
The third one? Hold on to your hat.
Probably like. Yeah, what's he called? Bruckheimer or something. No, he was involved in. What was he called?
John Landis.
Landis? You know who Landis is, don't you? Did he come to America?
Did he?
Aye.
Did the Blues Brothers as well. Blues Brothers.
Landis was attached to that. He directed it. What a knacker.
Did he do Come to America?
Well, aye.
Spider-Man 2 he did. Well, he did loads, to be fair. Come to America's not coming up.
Is it not?
Robocop?
What, Landis did Robocop?
It says Man in 6,000, so he might just be departing, to be fair.
Aye.
Trading Places. Man with Briefcase.
Did he? I could have sworn Landis did Come to America.
your mate is what I'm falling in a rabbit hole here of but your mate is what I find. You're coming to America. Didn't we do Coming to America? We should remember, really.
It was Landis, mate. He did Come to America. Because he fell out with... Oh, no. He fell out with...
John Landis? No, you read.
Oh, he did, But he fell out with... That was the crack. I know we're jumping, yeah. But he fell out with Eddie Murphy on Trading Places. No, did he fall out with him? He fell out with him because... He'd done a film with Eddie Murphy before Trading Places. And he said there was a change in him. And then he was surprised... I wonder if he asked him to do Come to America or Beverly Hills Cop 3. One of them, he was surprised because they had a big... You went for him, you had a scrap with him?
Never.
Aye, I have to Google that.
I've heard things about Eddie Murphy being difficult to work with, though.
He just... The more popular he got. Do you know what I mean? He just like, went to his head and that. I think he's came around a bit recently.
He could have come around to Earth to all the party he was getting. Some of them, Meet Dave and that. Seen some of them flicks he's done recently.
Oh, but he did. He went on a massive, like...
Norbit.
Just a run of doing absolute terrible...
Dross.
...flicks. So, let's start off with the flick. And we're not going to do scene by scene, but I want to just talk about... Because quite a big, like, whoa moment was in... It's in Detroit, and his mate comes to visit him.
Mm-hmm.
His old school friend or whatever.
He breaks into his house, doesn't he?
I'm just sitting there having a meal. Like, imagine like you doing that, yeah. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? How'd you get
him? Imagine.
But he wasn't bothered though, was he?
Your reaction if you came home knackered from your day at work and I'm just like chilling in your city, eating your bait. Christ, he's hoy as hoot.
Actually, his mate's like just, and Eddie Murphy's quite responsive and that, Axel Foley. Do you know what I mean? And like, they got on the drink and that, and being a bit pool and that.
What was interesting about that though, is obviously, again, setting the scene for, well, getting you, letting you know who the characters are. He broke into his house, and he's obviously shown in this, was it Deutschmarks or something in his bag or whatever it was? Some sort of dodgy papers in his bag. But what that planted the seed for as well was a bit deeper in Axel Foley, because obviously, he's obviously friends with these kind of people. Do you know what I mean? So he's obviously got a bit of a history. Do you know what I mean? I can't remember if he says... Something along the lines of, I don't do anything like that anymore because I'm a police officer.
But that's when he's at the bar and he says, oh, do you want to go and steal a car?
Aye.
And he's like, what? I'm a police officer, man. Like, laughing his head off, you know? But, and he asks him, like, oh, what you been doing, like, for work and that in Beverly Hills? And he said, I've been working on security and that. Who got you that job? And that's where he mentioned that.
Yes.
That woman. Jenny Summers.
Jenny Summers plays, Jenny Summers is a character, and then Lisa Eilbacher.
Not a bad looking woman. I don't know if she did many things after that.
I agree with you there, like.
but with Google and should be like, I don't know.
Multi award winning.
Aye.
Lisa Eilbacher.
But how harsh is it, right? She goes on the drink, having a great night, and they're going back and they're laughing their heads off. It must be the quickest knockout I've ever seen. Eddie Murphy's bang out.
Aye, and I.
Lights are out.
Like,
and then you get the impression that this guy, I don't know if you noticed. Nicky, did you notice who the guy was? It was a very young guy.
Yes.
Who played Mike in Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, yes, I did notice that with hair.
Aye.
Strange to see, strange to train with hair, I thought.
But he acts like he's going to give him like a chance to like get the money to him or whatever.
Oh, yeah, nah.
And it's a harsh killing.
Aye, it is.
Shoots him in the head or something. Like, it's like, whoa. It's like, that's when the film gets a bit real.
Aye, it was brutal. That, like, it did take a bit of a serious turn in that
it
moment.
It did, which was good.
Aye.
No, got it was. You like, whoa, got your attention, like.
Nah, she's done that with... of major standout, like, or not well, The Last Samurai.
She was in that, was she with Tom Cruise?
I don't know if it was Tom Cruise.
Aye, Tom Cruise is the last
looks
Samurai.
Like a snide version, if I'm honest, mate.
Is it?
I think it's a Tom Cruise version. James Ryan, Lance Henriksen. Anyway, now to report about. She's still alive, though, which is not often said on this podcast.
And don't get started on that because I hate seeing movie stars now who we've grew up on and just seeing how old they are. Arnie and Stallone and that just hurts us.
De Niro looks old at the minute.
They all do, mate. Like, it's hard to watch.
I keep meaning to watch the Irishman, but it's just too
I think long. It's mad when you see that lad who was in Weird Science.
Weird Science. He looks totally different.
He's like a proper bloke.
Yeah, I know exactly.
With the blonde floppy hair.
Aye.
We should know his name before his name.
Aye. With the irritating voice.
He fell out with... we'll see who fell out with each other. He fell out with John Hughes. Because John Hughes wanted him to be Ferris Bueller.
No way.
He did, aye. Because he loved putting him in his movies. But he couldn't do it. He was signed to somewhere else. Speaking of that, Stallone was supposed to originally do Beverly Hills Cop.
Mr. Hughes.
He was like majorly attached to it.
Anthony Michael Hall.
That's him. I'm saying Stallone was like majorly attached to this, but he was wanting to do too many script changes. He was wanting to make it more Cobra-like, you know, which isn't a comedy really.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aye, sorry, mate.
No, it's alright, because I was looking up that character. Aye. Just quickly, obviously, you mentioned reference Axel Foley getting knocked out dead quick. It was that quick, I literally like looked away for a second.
Oh,
and then when I looked back at the screen, Axel was like out for the count. I was like, what the hell have I missed there?
So it was good seeing out, and the next one was dead. You know what I mean? Like,
but again, though, that's setting the tone for the bad guy, like the pull no punches type thing. Do you know what I mean? It was just literally a case of, right, we've came to do a job, Bosh, you're gone, move on with our lives type thing. Sorry, you were saying something there.
I was just saying, like, obviously Stallone was majorly attached to this.
Aye.
But he was wanting to do too many script changes and all that. Even Mickey Rourke, you know, he signed a contract to play Axel Foley, didn't he?
He still got paid. He still got paid for this film.
Aye, because he got put on what you call a holding contract. So he had it. It was on hold.
Aye.
But then it was just taking too long to get through, like, production and all that.
How mad's that?
So he just went, right, I'm off, take your money.
Fucking
I'm on to somewhere else.
Seconded.
This film wouldn't have worked without Eddie Murphy. They needed he was fresh off SNL. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so this is exactly what I was going to kind of like lean into there when you brought up the Rourke and Stallone facts. Imagine this film with either of those characters, because it just loses its comedy value.
I don't think Stallone could have done that. It would have been more of a wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean though?
100%.
Aye, because that's what he was famous for, Eddie Murphy, like with that laugh. He was hilarious.
Not 100%.
The director, told him, like, I need you to improvise, just do what you want.
Aye.
And apparently Eddie Murphy doesn't drink much coffee, and they give him kind of a bit of coffee that day because they wanted him to just fucking gun off on it. Aye.
Imagine if you don't drink coffee and then you have some, it would send you to another planet, to be fair. But just on regards to obviously Stallone and what's his face playing in that role, it would lose the comedy factor. But this is obviously what you're talking about with Die Hard and Bruce Willis. He brought like a kind of comedy factor to that film, which I thought made that film
work.
Anyone
wanted him for that film.
What exactly?
Ended up being the movie's career.
Aye. But just funny anyhow, obviously, how different the film would be just because of that. This is that scene I mentioned, reference the mansion. And look at them two trying to climb over the fence. That was hilarious, that scene, just quickly.
We've got Beverly Hills playing in the background.
Aye. Judge has got the sergeant on his back. And he's trying to get him out of the wall.
Oh, that was kind of funny, that.
So funny.
He's out of RoboCop, that guy there. I mean, the guy.
The boss.
The boss in Beverly Hills.
Aye, Beverly Hills Cop.
Here's a good part of the end where he's listening, you know.
It's funny because it's like, he wins him over, doesn't he? Like, that's what I like about that, because it's like a bit of like of a Rocky feel. Like, where because obviously, what it makes apparent in the film, would allow the place a bit here. The Detroit police obviously kind of like bend the rules a little bit where they need to kind of get the job done.
The listeners I used to be, mate, the now would jump from here. The flick we're talking about, who shouldn't have played this and who fell out with who.
Aye, so the Detroit police obviously are happy to kind of like bend a few rules to kind of get the job done or whatever. But then he goes to Beverly Hills and the LA cops are just like, by the book, by the letter, like black and white, this is how the job's done. There's no ifs, ands or buts. And the sergeant a few times like gets them in shit because Axel Foley tells like a quality lie after they've been at that strip joint.
Let's go, like, obviously he needs to leave Detroit because his mate's just been killed.
Aye.
And he tells his boss, who he's having beef with all the time, that he needs a vacation. That gets quite used a bit, that word. I'm on vacation.
Aye, yeah, aye.
By the way, vacation sounds much better than like
annual leave.
Us UKs.
Annual leave.
Alright, we're just going on with jollies. Like, it's so annoying.
What jollies?
Or on holiday. Or having a pino. Like, it's so annoying. Vacation sounds medical. It's like
for your soul.
I'm going on a vacation. Like, I need this. Aye. You know what I mean? Much better.
Well, it is because again, we digress. For me, when I've got holidays in, like, people say, oh, where are you going?
And
do you know what I mean?
And then you feel a bit, well, I do. When they ask, because I'm like, I'm not going anywhere.
I'm just going to sit in the house.
I'm just happy to be in my own company. Do you know what I mean? It's enough being away from you, fuckers.
Yeah, I'm just not going to clock in for a week.
Did we discuss the running time? It's 1 hour 45, which isn't far from our magic 90.
Magic 90, aye.
So you'll not hear that magic 90 song.
Aye. Under 2 hours, really.
Which is what? It's St. Elmo's.
St. Elmo's Fire, mate, aye.
That only comes out for the magic 90. But it's not far. Dave, because I think I commented on Twitter, and Dave said it wasn't far. Dave, who's Dave? He's like, we're producer.
Dave is a real person, just for anyone listening. anything under 2 hours is a sweet spot for me. Because sometimes it's like 2 hours feels like a bit of a commitment. Where 1 hour 45.
I think I lost a bird because, right, she was saying, have you watched the Harry Potter movies? And I said, no. And I said, I'll get into them for you. And I said, oh, I'm going to watch the first one and that. And she went, oh, did you watch it? I went, no. It just wouldn't end. I said, like, I'm watching it in parts because it's like 2 hours 45 or whatever.
Aye.
And she looked disgusted. She was younger than me.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean?
Aye. No, mate, like, I didn't realise until I looked that how long the films were, because I've seen the Harry Potter films that many times. It's one of those films I'll put on, I'll watch. But then when it's time sensitive and I realise, like, it's like you said, it's 2 hours 40, 3 hour flick, this.
It's long.
It's long. But, like, I'll read it, like, as I said earlier, and in recent podcasts, the last podcast.
They're all thinking, fucking reason leaking. The last one was Death Becomes Her, but in nearly Death Becomes B2B. Right.
I forget where I was going. Oh, I really want to watch The Irishman because it's three hours
and
a bit.
That's a good flick.
I was like, oh, I can't be arsed. But like you see, Harry Potter, which I watched.
Just a quick one because you've mentioned The Irishman, right? In that film, The Irishman, Pacino and De Niro get made to look younger. Have you seen
it? No, I haven't seen it.
So they use CGI or whatever. And it looks sorry, it looks canny, but it doesn't look. You know, I can tell it's been done.
Aye.
But they've done a recent Indiana Jones film.
Aye.
Can't remember the name of it. And they do that with Harrison Ford, and it looks just like him. Just you kind of tell, like, CGI.
They did it with a Will Smith flick,
like,
didn't
it? Came on.
It's in Gemini Man. Will Smith.
I think, again, that was not the best.
You could tell.
I think it's came on. Like, well, it has, you know, when you see these, what's it called? Face something, like, when there's a guy who, like, looks like Tom Cruise and, like, what's it called, man? Is it a proper app or something?
Oh, deep fake.
Aye.
Well, that was that. Doesn't that Gary Busey thing that went viral? Let's talk about buttered sausage.
Oh, I've heard about it.
I've seen it. Let's talk about buttered sausage.
Yeah.
And it's Gary Busey sat there and he's just not blinking, and it's his typical Gary Busey interview where he's just talking absolute nonsense.
Is it him though? Is it actual Gary Busey?
And then it came out the other day that actually it was an impersonator, and they've just deep faked it.
Class.
And the whole world absolutely thought it was just Gary Busey off the edge.
We're going about deepfake. There's a deepfake dating show, right? It's foreign. I don't know, it could be Sweden or whatever. And so people have signed up, and like they do deepfakes, like, because just say to you, right, and you think, you know, my lass would not. I'll just say it to me. We'll use me for an example, right? And I'm like, my lass would never cheat on me or whatever, etc., etc. And the show, like, a deepfake video of like your lass like
cheating on someone.
And you have to determine whether that was actually real.
You're joking.
And the guy's like, oh God, he's crying his eyes out. He's like, you don't get it, man. Like, to his, and they're like, oh no, like, what is that?
What a
it's on Netflix. Have a look at it.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds, why would anybody go on that show?
I just keep, like, tidying that and just necking around with the hot tub and that. And I need to hire it on, actually. Mad, though. Anyway.
What on earth? Who comes up with these shows?
I know. Right, so he goes to Beverly Hills.
We're talking about Beverly Hills Cop, carry on.
Put that tune on when he goes to Beverly Hills Cop, because this is like, it's an unreal little tune, and it's like anything, you know, when you pull up the new town and he's just looking at all the shops and that, obviously Beverly Hills. Is Rio Rodeo Drive, is that?
Is it
Beverly Hills? I'm just making that up.
Rodeo Drive.
That loud enough? Aye, so it's Eddie Murphy, obviously, in his Mumford's t-shirt, his hoodie. Casual, you know, he's just like driving along in that.
This just screams 80s.
See, that's loud enough. I bet that song earlier wasn't loud enough. But we'll see when you play it back.
I've turned it up for you. The mic's like screaming.
There's a bit where like he sort of locks eyes with this blonde in another car.
Aye.
Unreal
little moment. He like chuckles, doesn't he?
Aye, like, aye. Yeah, nice. Nice. Unreal.
Your impression of Eddie Murphy, man.
Oh,
that's it. That's the scene there. Where he sees them two people in the Eddie Murphy outfits.
Aye, aye.
And he does laugh then as well.
That scene is hilarious, by the way, when he checks into the hotel and he talks about how he's going to be reporting the interview.
Oh, yes, and he puts the camp voice on.
They're knocking about, there's no rooms and all that. He goes, it's going to be called Michael Jackson on Top of the World. And then they like say, no, there's no rooms and all that. And he goes, oh, what is it, man? It'd be hilarious if you could play it down the actual mic, if you could find it.
The scene.
Aye. Axel Foley checking in a hotel. That's what I would put, if it's there.
Axel Foley.
He drops the N-bomb word, like, but he's out, let me see it, do you know what I mean?
I want to see if I can edit it out there.
Is it?
Thank you. Hi.
Nervous, some people, huh?
May I help you?
Yes, you have a reservation for an Axel Foley?
Well, let's see.
This is brilliant.
I'm sorry, I don't see anything under that name.
Check Rolling Stone magazine's Axel Foley. That's what it is.
No, no Rolling Stone, no Axel Foley. I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, that's all right. You guys probably just made some kind of mistake with reservations. Why don't you just give me another room now, go up and go to sleep?
I'm sorry, sir, but there are no rooms available.
So when he kicks off.
His face, man.
Don't you think I realize what's going on here, miss? Who do you think I am, huh? Don't you think I know that if I was some hotshot from out of town that pulled inside here and you guys made a reservation mistake, I'd be the first one to get a room and I'd be upstairs relaxing right now. But I'm not some hotshot from out of town. I'm a small reporter from Rolling Stone magazine town to do an exclusive interview with Michael Jackson that's going to be picked up by every major magazine in the country. I was going to call the article, Michael Jackson is sitting on top of the world, but now I think I might as well just call it, Michael Jackson can sit on top of the world just as long as he doesn't sit in the Beverly Palm Hotel because there's no niggas allowed.
Because there's niggas allowed here.
Oh, it's crashed.
Oh, it didn't crash. Crash at the actual peak time.
I just crashed at the worst time ever.
I think they got the idea.
Hold on. I was going to say, but there's an ad this time. Aye, you get the idea. Aye.
Hilarious.
But then, it's funny, I remember when I watched it the other day, I remember being camper.
What, in that?
In that particular clip.
I don't know.
He was definitely camp though, wasn't he? I'm not just making that up. Just
projecting onto yourself.
No, Flies had taken over 5 years to do the script for this flick.
This is what I'm saying, man. Like, no one really wanted to touch it.
Nah.
Martin Brest, like, flipped a coin. Did I mention that earlier? Like, to sort of see whether he's going to do it or not.
You mentioned it before, wasn't it?
Martin Scorsese was originally, like, you know.
I saw that. Again, though, this is what I mean. Imagine Scorsese did it, and then obviously.
De Niro was filmed by Beverly.
Stallone was Axel Foley. Like, just them two changes, how completely different this film.
I think it was a case of the one Scorsese in that, and he was like, nah, because it's like this flick and it's like that. I'm not doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Mad that, like.
I don't think he was ever truly attached.
But obviously, reference the script, took 5 years to do. It was originally called Beverly Drive.
Was it?
Aye. Which again is just like,
again, these are like, you've heard like movies like Ghostbusters was supposed to be Ghost Breakers or something, wasn't it?
I don't remember. No, I remember Die Hard was meant to be something berserk. It wasn't meant to be Die Hard originally.
It was
because it was named after a book, wasn't it?
Aye. When Deacon was talking about like facts, I'm like, aye.
Yeah, I remember we spoke about that on our podcast.
We'll go right on the other podcast. Aye.
It has been a while since we've done them, to be fair, mate.
I know.
Mickey Rourke was initially paid. Axel Foley spat his dummy out because of juice.
Not Axel Foley, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone, sorry.
They reckon, like, it was tip of the iceberg, you know. If he's kicking off about what juice he's going to have in his trailer, like, it's time to move on.
It's funny, though, mate, right? So I always remember when you were telling us you watched a video on YouTube, or like, you know, you watched the movie interviews or whatever. In Stone Cold, Steve Austin was like saying part of the Expendables, he was like, look, you've got a room full of alpha males, mm-hmm. and Stallone is the alpha male of all alpha males.
Unreal.
Yet he spat his dummy about orange juice.
So how true is it?
I couldn't think of a less alpha thing to be worried about.
Aye. That's probably just a petty employee who Stallone probably are running with.
Yeah.
Apparently they do a little nod to Stallone in Beverly Hills Cop 2 because Billy has Cobra posters in his room.
All right.
Aye.
Obviously, I haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop 2, so I don't know who Billy is. Aye.
It's, what's he called? Rosemount? Judge Ryan.
Ah, is it Billy Rosewood?
Aye. What, I say Rosemount?
Aye, Eddie Murphy improvised a lot of the movie, like you're saying there. That is mad, that, like...
Obviously, Axel Foley, Eddie Murphy, his two mates, to a degree.
Aye.
Is Taggart and Rosewood.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're like two detective partners. And they obviously assist Eddie Murphy, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, again,
at first they're not assisting. I think they're like trying to fucking rein him in, aren't they?
At first they are. You can tell Judge is obviously the more like kind of...
Canny hour one, like easily led. Rookie?
Yeah, I would say Rookie. He definitely seems newer than the Sergeant. The Sergeant's a bit of a harder win. Taggart. Because obviously, like I say, there's a few times where Eddie Murphy, well, Axel Foley, gets him into some trouble. And he gets him out of the trouble with the main gaffer. But the Sergeant's like, nah, like, we need to do it by the book here. That isn't what happened. This is what happened. Gets him back into the shit type thing.
Aye.
So it was a bit harder for him to win him over. But again, at the end of the film, you see he wins them all over, which was a nice one. That was a good fact that I seen. I was reading up different facts about the film, obviously, before we went live. And mentalfloss.com said that obviously, when they went to certain places when they're filming in Detroit, they had police with them.
Aye.
For security, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain areas in Detroit that they went to film certain bits and the police wouldn't even go there.
Aye.
How mad's that?
I read that, aye.
The coppers wouldn't even go there.
That's crazy.
Like, only in America.
I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but they shot a lot of it in Detroit because Beverly Hills, he could only shoot it at 10 o'clock at night.
Mm.
So, and obviously, Axel Foley's wearing Mumford's t-shirt, and he... quite a bit through the movie.
Aye.
That's a nod to one of the filmmakers who went to school at Mumford's in Detroit. Which is quite popular. A lot of people want to buy that t-shirt online and that.
Oh, really?
Aye. It's not nothing special. Like, it's just a great t-shirt.
It would be like quite a subtle or like niche movie reference, I think. If somebody...
Look good with a hoodie.
Aye. Like, if somebody was... Like, if I was at Comic-Con and somebody walked through in a Mumford t-shirt and jeans, like light Levi jeans, I wouldn't think, oh, Axel Foley... Do you know what I mean? But then, obviously, now that we've had this conversation, I might be a little bit more kind of aware that he's wearing light jeans and a Mumford t-shirt. Like Axel Foley.
But Axel Foley's famous, I don't know if this is more Beverly Hills Cop 2, is it the varsity jacket?
Aye.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he wears, you know?
That's what I'm wearing on the B2B covering it, the varsity, our varsity jacket.
I'm surprised it's not Wolf. I'm about to start collecting them Funko Pops.
Are you?
Aye.
What, for yourself, or?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, I've seen a few now. Like the ones that I want.
Aye.
But I don't think there's an Axel Foley one.
There will be. A million percent.
Google it.
A million percent.
I just haven't seen it. And if there is, I imagine you've got that jacket on.
I'm yet to know of a Funko Pop that doesn't exist.
Be interesting if it's not.
So, aye. Just so you can laugh at it.
It's Stallone in it.
There you go. Straight away. Giant. 10 quid.
Because look.
He's not wearing that t-shirt. I think he's wearing his Mumford. Oh, I can't want to zoom in.
That is funny as hell. But that could be anyone, that.
It says Axel Foley in the box.
I know, but it doesn't look like him, do you know what I mean?
Which is a Funko Pop, isn't it? They're all the same though, mate. It is that particular one. Wait there. It actually says Mumford Vinyl.
Is it?
As well, aye.
So if you've just seen the word vinyl there, obviously... That song, The Heat Is On.
The Heat Is On.
Our aunt had the vinyl single, like, of that movie.
Oh, look, the Mumford one, he's got the bananas in his hands.
That's class.
So an interesting fact about them bananas as well.
That's berserk, though.
That was like a last-second decision. Like, because obviously he'd obviously, like, provided bait for them in the car. It was meant to be take something off the plate, stick up the tailpipe type thing, and it was like last second actually I'll just hoist some bananas up there type thing and go from there.
A lot of this movie, like, and I would like digress, as you like to say, but it is Axel Foley investigating the murder of his old school friend in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
He's assisted by Taggart and Rosewood,
aye, the judge.
Who are at first trying to keep an eye on him, but then they end up assisting him.
Yeah.
And that's it. They're just trying to take down the person that murdered his...
But he's brilliant. And he's really good at his job, because that's what obviously his Detroit gaffer says. He's really good at his job, whatever. And he shows it in the strip joint. He says to the sergeant, like, look, this is the crack. These two guys have just walked in, blah, blah, blah. This is how it's going to play out. And the judges, like, doesn't know what's going on. And then they manage to take them both out straight away.
Taggart gives him like a little nod as if to see, like, fucking hell, you're right.
And that was like a mint moment, because it was like that was him trying to win them over, but also showing. So in that scene, Eddie Murphy's doing this little jiggy in his chair the whole time, and the Carl's just started doing it there.
He's just like that.
No, 100%, mate. 100%. Does it hold up? Absolutely, it does, in my opinion. 1984, so its competition was Terminator, which I can't believe only got 78.48 million in the.
That was the film of the year, wasn't it, though?
Aye. Yeah, exactly. This is what I mean. Ghostbusters, 1984, 229 million. And then Gremlins as well, 1984, 148 million. So Terminator was like horrific.
Grossed worldwide.
You would think, like looking at their numbers, Beverly Hills Cop grossed 254 million. So you think on the numbers. But obviously Terminator.
Shooting time, I always like to check that one out.
So they began shooting in May, and the film released in December.
So what's that?
So obviously, like
7-8 months.
Aye, but obviously that will include obviously editing, pre-production, all that kind of stuff as well, post-production, whatever it is. Location, obviously Beverly Hills and Detroit, as we've alluded to.
The trailer, have you just mentioned that before, Leonard?
I was just about to mention the trailer there. Does it show too much? I didn't think it did. Yeah,
to watch the trailer.
I think so. I never ever, as you just know, I've said it a million times, I never ever watch trailers because I feel like it spoils the film. I nearly didn't watch the trailer for this because I haven't seen it before. But obviously it's part of the kind of like structure of the episodes now, so I did. And I didn't feel like going into this film, I knew what was going on. So I thought the trailer was good for people who don't like things to be spoiled.
We didn't play that tune, you know, the main.
The actual Foley theme.
Obviously everyone knows that tune is Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
Are you putting it on now?
I'm going to put it on now. The funny thing is, mate, about that.
It's played throughout the movie, doesn't it, on different.
Yeah, oh, yeah, loads. The funny thing is about it, though, mate. Advert, my apologies. When I hear that, obviously I naturally relate it to Beverly Hills Cop. But a lot of people related to Crazy Frog. Remember the Crazy Frog?
Oh,
aye, he did this.
Aye, I think the real ones would be Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, yeah, of course. Ding, ding.
Is that the iconic picture of him sitting on a red car?
Aye.
That's on the vinyl single.
With his Mumford shirt on?
For me, that was Eddie Murphy. Just when he was at his best, Beverly Hills Cop, Golden Child.
Current
America. Golden Child. His early
80s. Current America. Oh, 100%, mate. No, 100%.
Trading places.
Classic. That's iconic, isn't it, that?
100%.
We should have closed on that. Just literally just ended the episode and they just played that. You know what I mean? I love that bit.
I can play it again.
And then another.
So we always going about the running time. What was the running time this podcast? I want to know.
Before I add bits and bobs in it, we're sat at 41 minutes currently.
Ah, is that a bit short for us?
It is, but I feel like we've covered everything we need to cover, obviously.
Nah, it's all right. It's going to be moving forward. This is going to be when you...
Well, this is the structure now. Right. We've done it for the past handful of episodes.
We'll not promise anything, though, because we're going to do that and then not deliver.
Yeah. Scheduling issues, but it is what it is. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed the episode.
Will you get this out tonight?
I'll save it all now. Get home, upload it. Jobs are good, mate.
Cool. So I will. Is that a wrap for brother to brother comeback?
That's a wrap for the brother to brother return, mate. Aye. When the next return will be, time will tell. But hopefully people can enjoy this episode. For
please
now,
let me know if we've been a bit rusty. Might get the Baron just thrown a bit more. I think we'll be alright, to be fair.
I do, mate. It's always the same, man. We'll just pick up where we left off in it. Do you know what I mean? It's just a shame, obviously, like I say, because of scheduling issues. It's been a difficult year for the podcast, unfortunately, but hopefully
for the real ones who've been waiting forward to do something, enjoy this.
Yes.
Because you never know when the next one is.
Savour it, play it in 0.5 speed so it lasts a bit longer. Savour every bit of juice. But aye, pleasure as always.
Juice being the word, sly. Do you know what I mean? That wasn't that funny, mate. I'm only joking.
Tickled me, mate.
To be fair, that's life, isn't it?
That's life.
Sometimes people find something in front of you, don't you know what I mean?
Well, your joke? Because I'm laughing at your joke and you're like, wasn't that funny, mate? No, I'm not laughing next time, Christ. Sign off, Carl.
Right, I can't remember how we do it.
That's bad, isn't it?
No, I want to just say, obviously, we're going to look to do some hoist some air movies on Twitter, ones that we haven't done so far. We'll get them done, do you know what I mean? Because we tend to not do them too old.
There's a handful of films we've been batting around.
RoboCop.
Detroit. We need to do RoboCop. To be fair, it's been taken off everything, so I don't know how we're going to be able to do RoboCop. It's not Netflix anymore. It's not Amazon. It's not on Disney Plus. We'll have to be able to kind of watch it legally. It's one of those. But there's, to be fair, any John Hughes flick, I'm happy to do. 16 Candles, I started watching the day, and then I had to turn it off. I can't remember why now. But anyway, we're talking nonsense. Aye. Beverly Hills Cop, 1984, 1 hour 45 minute flick.
Enjoy. We're going to return some videotapes.
Yes.
Peace out.
Aye, be kind and rewind. Speak soon.